The subject that we're going to preach on tonight is an ear to hear. I'm persuaded that most people in the church today are sitting in the church and they hear with the natural ear, but they never really hear what God's saying. They never really hear what the preacher's preaching. No matter how anointed he is or what, they never really hear what the Spirit is saying to them. And I believe this with all my heart. The biggest part of the problems in the church is that the people are actually not hearing what God is really saying. And I want to read in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them to us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Verse 14, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Now we find here in verse 9 that it says, but it is, as it is written, eye has not seen, or ear has not heard, neither entered in the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But he says in verse 10, but God hath revealed them to us by his Spirit. I'm persuaded to believe that deep down in the heart of man, someplace or other, there's a special ear, spiritual ear, that can hear what God is saying, that's hearing what the preacher is really preaching, that's hearing exactly from God. I believe that we need that ear. We need that ear. Now, some have not that ear. If you don't believe that some don't have that ear, all you have to do is turn to the book of Revelation. And you begin to look at what he's saying to the churches. The book of Revelation, chapter 2 and chapter 3. He's talking to seven churches there. Now he tells all these seven churches. I'm not going to take time to get into it because I preach on this all morning long in these two chapters of the book of Revelation. But the real message that he's saying that people are missing that too. Revelation chapter 1:10, John said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard a voice behind me saying, he was in the Spirit, so he heard from God. Now, what he is preaching here is to the churches, the seven churches, and he lines all seven of these churches, and what is the real message to them? Every one of them. Now, he told the church of Ephesus that they had this great love and all these great things. But he said, nevertheless, I have somewhat against you because you have left your first love. What is your first love? Our first love is God. They've turned away from God. They had something they needed to do. What was it they needed to do? The seventh verse of the second chapter of the book of Revelation, where he's talking to the church of Ephesus there, he said, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit has to say to the church. I don't know, I'm weeping a lot, but when I talk about the spiritual things that people are missing, he that hath an ear, you got to have this ear, church, to hear what the Spirit is saying to you, the church. And he said, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. Now he goes right down the line to each one of these churches. He tells them all their good points, and he tells them all their bad points. But every time he ends with all seven of them, one message. He that hath an ear, let him hear. Church, if there ever was a time we need that message, it's the message of the last day. Is he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit has to say to the church. Let's quit listening to what everybody's got to say, and let's get our spiritual ear zeroed in to hear what the Spirit has to say to the church. You know what the Spirit's got to say to the church? He's telling us, eye is not seen, ear is not heard, neither hath it entered in the heart of man what God hath prepared for them that love him, but God hath revealed them to us by his Spirit. We need to turn the spiritual ear on. We need to get that spiritual ear anointed to where we can hear what the Spirit has to say to the churches. What God's got to say individually to you. What God's got to say individually to me. Now, eyes not seen, ears not heard, and it hasn't entered into the heart of man what God has prepared for them that love him, but God has revealed them to us by what? By his Spirit. You could go through that all day long and keep finding things. God hath revealed them to us by his Spirit. Now, we could get into a great long message on this and deal with the Spirit speaks to the Spirit. How many know you're a spirit? You've got a spirit down in there somewhere. And it has to be activated to hear what the Spirit has to say to the church. Now, so you've got a spiritual ear there, but eyes not seen in the natural. The natural man receiveth not the things of God. So what God does, he speaks to the spiritual man, because God is spirit. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And if you don't worship him in spirit and in truth, you might as well be jumping up and down like they are in some churches, playing rock music, jumping old pews and all those kind of things, but it amounts to nothing. But when you hear what the Spirit has to say to the church, you don't need something to bring people in, because the Spirit will draw them. No man can come to God except the Spirit draw him. And if it's not the Spirit draws him, he's going to be a problem until you get him spiritualized and saved and sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost, where he'll be a valuable asset in the church. He that hath an ear, let him hear. Now he said, eyes not seen, ears not heard, neither hath it entered. Now, what is going to happen in the last days? And I don't believe that I have to holler and yell to make you understand we're in the last days, the last part of the last days. So you might turn your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1 and see what he says here. And my message is the Spirit speaketh expressly. How many knows when something is expressed expressly, that means it's specially expressed. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly. He is expressing this to Paul. And Paul said, I can hear it. I've got my inner ear turned on. I've got my inner man tuned up. You know, our inner man needs to tune sometimes. We need to tune him up. How do you tune him up? You tune him up with God. How does my wife tune the guitar? She always has to tune it to the piano, because the piano is going to be the major instrument in a song service. So it has to be tuned with the bass and the guitar, the dobro, and everything has to be in tune. If it's not in tune, you hear all kinds of humble jumble, don't you? But when it's in tune, it's music. I tell you, it's music to your ear. It touches the heart. It gets down to business. So the music feel has to be in tune. And our inner man has to be in tune. Our soul has to be in tune. And when that's in tune, the old man, he just has to die. That's where Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2 said, I beseech you therefore, brother, that by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, by your tune-up, by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So, here we're back to 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. The Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. Giving heed to what? They'll tune in to seducing spirit. Giving heed to seducing, you know, giving heed means tuned in touch, listening to. They'll give heed to seducing spirits and what? Doctrines of devils. Boy, you talk about doctrines of devils. They're out there. I've been in this thing 55 years, but I haven't never seen nothing like it. My ear just don't hear like them at all. There's either something wrong with me or something wrong with them one. And I'm glad I feel like it's not me. I'm still shouting the victory, Brother Williams. And they're doing everything but shouting. They're doing everything but living for God. And I tell you, we got to live for God. We got to get down to business and start living for God. We got to get our ear tuned and have an ear to hear what the Spirit has to say to the churches. And the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times, some is going to give heed to seducing spirits. They're going to give heed to doctrines of devils. Let's go through that just a minute. The Spirit speaketh expressly that in the last days some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Now the Spirit is speaking this. Who's he speaking it to? Paul. What's Paul doing? He's relaying it to you and to me. He's relaying this to generations down the line. Now, let's take a look at Matthew chapter 7 and verse 24. When you hear and don't do, that's sin, ain't it? When you hear and you don't do, it doesn't bring forth fruit. Jesus said in Matthew 7:24, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, heareth. Won't you notice that? It's all over the Bible. We just miss it sometimes. Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him to a wise man that built his house upon a rock. And when the rain descended, and the floods came, and it beat upon that house, it stood because it was founded upon a rock. What founded it upon a rock? Hearing and doing. Now, you have to hear this with the spiritual ear in order for us to do this. Our spirit man has to pick up what God's saying, because the natural man can't receive it. And the soul, it's sandwiched in between the spirit and the body. So when it's relayed to the spirit man from God, which is a spirit, and we worship in spirit, and when it's relayed to that, then that spirit relays it to the soul. And then the soul brings the body in line with the word of God. Because a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him to a wise man that built his house upon a rock. When the rain descended and the flood came, beat upon that house, it stood. But whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not, I will liken him to a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. Oh, you talk about sand piles, I see them everywhere. I see sand pile Christians everywhere. They've built them something on the sand. And when the shaking comes, you know, Hebrews chapter 12 said, yet one more time will I shake the heavens and the earth, that the things that cannot be shaken might remain. It's going to be the things that remains is what can't be shaken. But to see, they built on the sand. When the storm came, it beat upon that house. And it fell, and great was the fall of it. Back to that scripture again. He that hath an ear. All seven times it's written in the book of Revelation. All seven churches. Chapter 2 and chapter 3. All seven churches. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit has to say to the church. Now, let's go over and see the immaturity in this. Let's take a trip over to Hebrews chapter 5. Speaks of Christ in verse 8. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. Somebody said, well, I'm just suffering. Well, maybe you're learning obedience. If it's the right kind of suffering, he suffered. He learned obedience. That was Christ. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. So when we hear, we got to what? To do. Whosoever heareth these things of mine and doeth them. I preached a message years ago. The cadence of a Christian walk is to hear, you do. You hear, you do. You hear, you do. You hear, you do. You know, that's going somewhere. You know, it'll take us somewhere. We're going somewhere. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit has to say to the church. So we're going somewhere. Hearing and doing. That's what he's saying here. Verse 9, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Now, you can't obey him till you hear him. How can you obey God when you don't hear him? You have to have an ear to hear what the Spirit has to say so he can talk to you. Boy, I just like to get cranked up and get around this, walk around this, talk to him for 30 minutes to an hour or better. Now, it says, called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Verse 11, of whom we have many things to say, and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are what? Let's all say this word, dull of hearing. I think we're dull of hearing. You know, we get a little older, you know, sometimes we get a little hearing in this ear dull. And you're always going around and say, huh? 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 But you see, if the spiritual ear, you can get dull of hearing in it too. And that's what he's saying here. And he says, of whom we have many things to say, and hard to be uttered. Paul said it's hard to preach. Is that what he said? It's hard to be uttered. If it's hard to be uttered, it's hard to preach. You know, it's much harder to preach now than it was 55 years ago when I started in the ministry. You know why? We got a lot of dull ears out there. Wonder what time it is. What are we going to eat today? What are we going to eat today? All those kind of things going through people's mind, dulling their hearing, where they cannot hear what the Spirit has to say to the church. Mind on other things. See, you got to be tuned in. See, if this thing here gets unhooked, I'm not tuned in. I got to get him to hook it back up. So we got to be tuned in. We got to have an ear to hear. You can't hear what God's saying, so you get an ear to hear. And somewhere deep down in there, there's a spiritual ear that you can hear with. But with the carnal ear, you don't understand what you're hearing anyway. But Paul says here, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered. It's hard to preach, he said. In other words, seeing ye are dull of hearing. He's talking to these people. In Hebrews here, he's talking to these people. He said, you're hard of hearing. You're dull of hearing. You need your ears sharpened up. You need your ears opened up. How many knows we need our ears opened up? I mean, in our natural ears. I remember my mom used to get all that earwax out of my ears, and I hated that. But I could hear better with the earwax out. See, when you stop our ears, then we're hard of hearing, we're dull of hearing. And listen what he's talking about here in verse 12. For when for a time you ought to be teachers. Ought to be teachers. I look at whole crowds of people that I've preached to over the last 55 years. I go to different churches and I'll see them there. And I think there's one that ought to be a teacher by now. And the pastor still says they're babies. They're babies in Christ. When they ought to be teaching. Here's what he said here. Well, when for a time you ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and become such as have need of milk and not strong meat. For when for a time you ought to be teachers. What was the problem? Dull of hearing. Dull of hearing. Well, I've heard that message before. Oh, yeah, have you? Have you heard it with the inner ear? Has the inner man heard it? The outer ear heard it, but he didn't understand it. The natural man don't receive the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness unto him. A lot of these things seem like it's foolishness unto us. But he that hath an ear, let him hear. Says you need to have one that need to teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and become as one that have need of milk and not strong meat. I'll tell you one thing, a preacher that's anointed gets tired of trying to preach to folks that wants milk. You want to take them somewhere. I was studying the other day, and I was studying on leadership. It seemed like I'm always got leadership. That's always everything I ever done in my life, it came to leadership. I didn't press for it. It just happened. But then I got to thinking, well, why? Leadership. Leadership will take you somewhere. Do you ever stop to think of that? A leader's going to take people somewhere if he's a leader. Now, there's two kinds of leaders. There's good leaders, and there's bad leaders. I fear that some of the church has listened too long to false prophets and bad leaders. And they need to tune in their ear to hear what the Spirit has to say. You know, I can follow a good leader. I watch a good leader around in the churches and around as I go across the country. And I see a good leader, it produces good fruit. And sometimes it gets kind of rough when you're having to lead people through a real storm. It's hard. They don't understand. Everybody else is trying to tell what they think, which don't amount to a hill of beans. But if they get the ear to hear, I've seen a time when people, I know they needed a message, but they just wouldn't hear. They just wouldn't open up. They just wouldn't open their ear to what the Spirit is saying, and they get it all tangled up, and that's worse than everything. It says, verse 13, for everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he's a baby. Wouldn't it be nice to see everybody rise up in this church? I'm preaching to this church this morning, so we'll talk about you and me. Wouldn't it be nice to just see everybody in the church get where they could lead something? Let's see, there's a song leader, Sunday school leader, soul winning leaders. You know, soul winner's a leader. He's leading people to God. But you got to hear from God. I don't know. I don't go out and talk to people and get them saved because I don't know what to say. Why? Well, how long have you been saved? 30 years. Well, it's time to be a leader. Time to buckle down and not be on milk all time and get into the meat of the Word of God. It's time to open up our spiritual ear and hear what the Spirit has to say to the church. It's time to find out we've got that special ear down there. Now, what did he say? Let's go back there again. 1 Corinthians 2:9. Eye has not seen. He's talking about this eye. And ear has not heard. You know, it sat right there in the whole service and didn't hear nothing. And didn't see nothing. And they're discouraged because they didn't hear nothing and see nothing. Eye has not seen or ear has not heard, and neither hath it entered into the heart of man what God has prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed them to what? Us by his Spirit. That's the only way we'll ever get the fullness of it, is to get revelation of the Spirit. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14. Strong meat belongs to them that are full age. Even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Now what is it? Our senses has to be exercised to discern both good and evil. We have to. I have to know what's good, and we have to know what's evil. Adam and Eve kind of got it all messed up. They ate of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. When you mess with both of it, you really get in a mess. And you become ungodly, is what the Bible calls ungodly. I'll not get into that. But anyway, Matthew chapter 13 and verse 13, and therefore speak I to them in parables, because they see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. That's what Jesus said. He said, I speak to them in parables because they seeing not, they hear not, neither do they understand. They don't see it, they don't hear it, they don't understand. You ever hear two people to argue in the scripture? I just don't see it your way. Well, you never will. Why not both parties pray until they get a spiritual ear and they both hear the same thing? How many know the hearing brings unity in the church? Psalms 133:1 said, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down the beard, even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garment. It gets all over you and it gets in you. The anointing. Now let's see what else Jesus said here. Verse 14, and in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see, and shall not perceive. Now, verse 15, right back to the same thing that we've been preaching. I know, I hope I ain't boring some of you, unless you're hearing what I'm really saying. You probably will be bored with the message every time. This is what it says here, verse 15. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. How about that for strong meat? That Jesus said that. Who's he talking to? He's talking to a bunch of people that has not an ear to hear. They don't have eyes to see. You know, one scripture said, anoint thine eyes with eye salve that thou mightest see. That don't mean to put some salve in there in your eyes. That means the anointing is the salve that will make you see. And it'll make you hear. Let's read that again. For this people, now he's talking to a people that by hearing they hear not, and they do not understand. And here's the reason, for this people, that's the reason. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed. They've shut him out. They've shut the inner ear off. We'll just listen to what we want to. And their eyes, they have closed, lest any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted and I should heal them. How many knows there's a lot of healing needs to be taking place in our churches and in our land, both spiritually, physically? I tell you what, I never seen our nation. I never would have realized it was going to be in a mess like this. I'm a veteran of World War II. And I never would have thought that we'd see what we're seeing. The ungodliness, the blindness of the heart, the hatred, the division, the malice, everything that's going on. It seemed like it turns out, and that's the way it is. Anytime that we're not doing things right, everything's going to turn out wrong. How many has found that out the hard way? Look at me. I'll be first to raise both hands. I've found out the hard way that if things are not going right, everything is going to go wrong. And that's exactly what's happened to our nation. I believe with all my heart that what's happening to our nation, that the prodigal son is a picture of what's happened to our nation. He left what he had that was good. He left father's house, and he went and he spent all with righteous living, and he's done everything, and he came to himself in the hog pen. God, I pray that people get in the hog pen and pray soon. Let's pray that he does soon. And when he came to himself in the hog pen and he prayed and he began to think, he came to himself and he said, I know what I'll do. I'll arise and I'll go to my father's house and I'll say to my father, the servants have plenty to eat. I'm not worthy to be not even a servant. Just label me, but just let me come to your table. Just let me be in your house. Just let me be near you. And the father, he was expecting him because he knew down inside that somewhere his boy had heard from God. He knew he was coming. He saw him afar off, and he ran to meet him, and he put his arms around him, and the son said, I'm not worthy to be a son. I'm not worthy. The father didn't even act like he heard him. He said to one servant, he said, you go get the best robe and put on him. And he said to the other servant, you go get a ring and put on his finger. And he said to the other one, you go and get the fatted calf. And kill it. And my son that was lost is found. My son that was dead is alive. I'll tell you, we need to raise the dead in the church. And it's not somebody out in the graveyard. The church is dead anymore. And we've got to resurrect that church. And it's mine and your job to resurrect it. By the ear. What would you have me do? Of a morning when you get out of bed, look at yourself in the mirror here, say, today, God, what would you have me do? I don't know about you, but it touches me. What would you have me do? And he'll tell you down inside with that ear that you've maybe never used, never have heard with it, with the spiritual eye that you've never seen with. Remember how it is when you're born again? John chapter 3, except a man be born again, he cannot see. He cannot see the kingdom of God. Except you be born again. What does born again mean? That means rebirthed in our spirit man. Our spirit man is what gets born again. When he's born again and he follows all the rules, he's going to have ears to hear, and he's going to have eyes to see, and he's going to be able to hear from God, and he's going to be able to know right from wrong. He's going to be able to do things right, and that's what the church needs today. It needs right. It needs uplifted. It needs it turned back from upside down. It needs to be right side up. Hearing. Hearing. Jesus said there's no hearing. And he couldn't get him to hear. But this prodigal son, he came home. The father was happy with him being there. He said he was dead. Now he's alive. He said he was lost. Now he's found. But in comes an elder brother. Like the elder brother of the church. He hasn't heard from God in no telling when. He hasn't heard the blessing. He doesn't know what it means for a loss to come home. He doesn't know what it means, what the fatted calves we've killed for. He doesn't know that the son was lost. He was dead. And now he's alive. He's back in the picture. He's resurrected. The inner man on the inside of him has been born again, so to speak. Born again. And the elder brother says, what's going on here? Well, the servant says, your brother has come home and he's killed the fatted calf. Your brother was lost. Now he's found. He's dead and he's alive. He didn't want anything to do with it. Isn't that a shame that we have stuff like that in the church today? Same thing. Don't want anything to do with it. Don't want anything to do with it. If I they can't have my way, I don't want anything to do with it. Well, I want to tell you something. If I'd have had my way in everything that I've seen in 55 years, I'd have been wrong a lot. But you know what I had to do? I had to get out in the shade tree or down on the river or someplace or other where only birds and squirrels hopping around and a voice from heaven
ring it out clearly. Hear what I've got to say. You've got an ear. And maybe I'd have to get down and repent. Wrong thinking. Anger. Ungodliness. Something like that. But when I heard the heavenly voice, I knew that. Somebody said, I never have heard that. You ought to pray all night till you hear from me. You ought to be able to hear from heaven. It's not an audible voice. It can be. It's the feeling that you get on the inside. It's the knowing that the anointing's there. See, I know the anointing's here this morning. I know the power of God's here this morning in a mighty way. When I walked through that door, I told my wife, I said, I've got a revelation. Some revelation knowledge. And I know that God's going to do something here this morning. God wants to shape in us after His image. He wants us to get rid of our image. He wants our hearing to come out clear and strong. I just feel something here this morning. Really, I do. I wasn't going to preach on this morning until I got in there and sat down. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit has to say to the church. Have you got an ear? I'll tell you what I'd like you to do this morning. I'm looking at the faces of a lot of sincere people. I could tell this morning. But I'd like for you to come to this altar this morning. And when you come, say, Lord, I want to hear what the Spirit has to say to me. I'm part of the church. See, you're part of the church. I'm part of the church. I want to hear. I want to hear your voice this morning, Lord. My natural eye can't see. My natural ear can't hear the things of God. So, Lord, tune me in. Tune my inner man in. And if I'm not full of the Holy Ghost, fill me full of the Holy Ghost. And if I'm dull of hearing, sharpen up my hearing. Let me hear from you this morning, Lord. I want to hear from you. I don't want to hear what people's got to say. Come on, that's how you're coming. You gather around this altar. If you'll just really stay there and hear from God, you'll feel something begin to happen. You'll begin to feel a relief. You'll begin to feel a joy. It's called the kingdom of God, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. You'll feel something that you haven't felt in many a long year, or many weeks, or many days. He that hath an ear, let him hear. The Lord, I want to hear your voice.
Without God or His Son.
Everybody will come around this altar and pray. Now, most of you here already. Didn't even have to ask. They're getting up out of the seat for it.
Oh, when the Savior reached down for me.
He reached way down for me. I was lost and undone without God or His Son.
When He reached down His hand for me. Oh, when the Savior reached down for me. He had to reach way down for me.
I was lost and undone without God or His Son. When He reached down His hand for me.
Savior, reach down for me.
Oh, he had to reach way down for me. I was lost and undone without God or His Son. When He reached down His hand for me, when He reached way down for me, I was lost and undone without God or His Son. When He reached down His hand for me,
filled with God, yes, filled with God, pardon and cleansed, and filled with God, filled with God, yes, I'm filled with God. Emptied of self and filled with love.
Filled with love.
Oh, yes, I'm filled with God. Oh, I'm filled with God. Pardon and cleansed
and filled with God.
Filled with God. Yes, I'm filled with God. Emptied of self and filled with God.
Oh,
filled with God. Yes, I'm filled with God. Pardon and cleanse
and
filled with God.
Oh,
filled with God. Yes, I'm filled with God. Emptied of self
and
filled with God.
What I've been preaching this morning, if you stop to think, if you get the mind of the Lord, that makes us all think the same thing. Philippians 2 and 5 said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Not thinking the same thing, not having the mind of Christ, not having the ear to hear, not having the eye to see, brings division. As I said again, they'll always say, I don't see it your way. You know why? Because somebody's got the wrong mind. Maybe both of them. When we really hear from God, when we really get down to things where God wants us, we'll all be victorious. We'll all see things alike. And if we don't, we'll just pray for the other until they see. We need to pray that their eyesight, spiritual eyesight be healed. Spiritual hearing be healed. Jesus said, I could heal them if they just was where they could hear. I could heal them if they just where they could see. But they just won't do it. I think we're going to have revival in the last day. I preached that. I know it don't look like it. But I'll tell you what, it didn't look like it when the prodigal son
was down the hole pen either. It looked like everything was going for him. But he thought. He got God's mind. He thought, I know what I'm doing. I know where I've been, and I know what's my mistake, and I know where I've been, and I'll go home to Father. I'll not push for things if he didn't have to.